Chapter 19. Preventive Measures. Tap, tap. It's dark outside, the world heavy with sleep, when I hear the noise at my window. At first, I freeze, my pulse jumping. Tonight is the full moon. It's been 2 weeks since I used the memory seed to compose the dragon spell, and all day I've been keyed up, waiting for Mr. Midnight to make his move. Tap, tap, tap. Whoever's there, they're getting impatient. I pull back the curtain to find Jai's face pressed against the glass, his hair and shoulders dusty with snow. He smiles enormously and motions for me to open the window. It takes some effort. It's probably been years since anyone opened it. But finally, the latch gives, and I lift it enough to let in a thread of freezing air. "What are you doing?" I whisper. "It's almost 11 o'clock. You're insufferable, you know that?" He just waves his hand, wanting the window open more. "Please, my butt's freezing off." Sighing, I shove the window up all the way and step back while Jai crams himself through. He falls in a heap on my floor, but bounds up quickly, leaving a puddle of melting snow on the carpet. He looks around at the bare walls and the dusty, empty shelves. "Gosh, I knew you'd got a room to yourself, but this is just gloomy."
"Shh. If you get caught in here, you could be expelled."
"There are worse things, like my best friend getting kidnapped by creepy orchestras." We both turn to stare out the window at the full moon. Since I composed the dragon spell, the trials team has spent every spare moment practicing, polishing my spell until it shines. With the power of a full orchestra, we've managed to multiply my one dragon into a whole flock. When we practice, we light up the campus and even the surrounding mountains. In 1 week, we'll leave for the trials and perform the spell in front of the entire world. But it's hard to think about that when my mind is occupied, worrying over what might happen tonight. Since I have no idea where the Midnight Orchestra will perform or in what time zone, I've spent the whole day jumping at every movement, unsure when the portal might appear, if at all. "Maybe he won't demand payment for the memory," I say. "Maybe he'll wait months or years. Maybe he'll forget about me altogether." Jai lifts one eyebrow. We both hear how weak that sounds.
"Right."
He lifts his chin.
"Let's get going."
"Going? Where?"
"Somewhere unpredictable. Somewhere nobody'd think to look for you."
"Why? What are we doing?"
"Oh, Amelia."
He spreads his hands wide and grins.
"We're going full werewolf prevention mode."
Excuse me?
"Come on, don't you watch any good movies? When there's a full moon and your best friend's a werewolf, you do what you must. Lock them in a silver cage so they don't become a danger to themselves or others. Then you sit up all night and keep watch over them till morning."
"I'm pretty sure I'm not a werewolf."
"It's a metaphor. Anyway, that's not the point. Neither is the fact that we don't have a silver cage, or that in the movies this plan almost never works. The point is, I'm going to stick it out with you till morning, and we know you're safe."
"Jai," I press a hand to my chest, touched. "You'd really do that for me?" He rolls his eyes.
"Well, not if you're going to get mushy about it.
I don't want you to get into trouble on my account."
"Amelia."
He folds his arms, tilting his head to one side.
"Remember the day we met?
How we met? I had just set my clothes on fire and you put them out." He nods magnanimously.
"Do you really think I didn't know exactly what I was doing that day? You had trouble written all over you.
But I still decided to be your best friend, didn't I? Somehow, that's the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me." "All right," I say. "What's your plan?" His grin returns.
"I'm so glad you asked." "Now this," Jai proclaims, "is what I call kidnap proof."
"I can't move my anything." I stare at him pleadingly. "This is a bit much, Jai. And since when does Mistwick have a weight room? Who even uses it?" I'm currently lying on the floor of that weight room, unable to even scratch my nose. Using athletic tape, Jai has secured each of my limbs to the heaviest weights he could find. Well, the heaviest weights he could lift. Which, let's be honest, aren't exactly heavy. But he made up for it in quantity, and altogether, I've got to be tethered to at least 200 pounds of barbells and steel. "Jai,
This is ridiculous. I can't sleep like this. You were planning on sleeping. Tonight, of all nights. I shrug, or would, if my arms weren't taped to dumbbells. I really don't think anything is going to happen. Classic Amelia. What's that supposed to mean? Just that you've got a certain modus operandi. Which is to say, you pretend things are fine until it's absolutely too late. I do not. Case in point. If Mia hadn't gotten under your skin a few weeks back, you'd never have opened that vial and composed a spell for the trials. You'd have procrastinated and pretended things were fine all the way up until the actual trials. Yeah, probably. Not that I'll give him the satisfaction of admitting it aloud. If I hadn't opened that vial, I counter, I wouldn't currently look like I'm auditioning to be a cruise ship anchor. Well, excuse me for trying to help. Thunk. Was that a door? I ask, wriggling in vain. Jai, if we're caught— No worries, he says. That's just our backup. Our what? Jai, who did you— My eyes widen as Darby steps into the weight room. She stares at me for a long moment, seemingly unable to find words. Then she stares at Jai. Then at me again. Okay, she says at last. Whatever you two idiots are up to this time, and I am not at all sure I want to know what that is, it definitely does not qualify as a life or death emergency. You got my note, Jai smiles. You mean this? Darby holds up a crumpled piece of paper. She unfolds it and reads, Life or death emergency, come with haste and urgency to the room where weak gets strong, two strikes before midnight's gong, or risk impending grisly end of a young and tragic friend. Tragic friend, I glare at Jai. Really? I had to make it sound dire, Jai explains, or Darby wouldn't have come. The rhyming's good though, right? Everything sounds more serious when it rhymes. I'm going back to bed, says Darby, and she starts to turn around. No, wait! Jai moves between her and the door and looks at me pleadingly. Amelia, we need her. Obviously, I'm the brains here, which makes Darby our brawn. You're the brains? Darby snorts. What does that make me? I ask. They glance at each other. The... Jai spreads his hand. Damsel in distress? Hey! Oh, go on. Tell Darby what happened and about the mess you've got yourself into. Her brow furrowing, Darby looks back at me. Another mess? Does this have something to do with your fire dragon spell? My jaw falls open. Why would you guess that? Because, Amelia, it just wasn't your style. That's what I said! Jai claps his hands together, delighted. See? We're a trio. We have to do this together. Do what? Asks Darby, sounding annoyed. Won't Mia realize you're gone? I ask her. She shrugs. She said she was going to phone her dad and it would take a while. Now, what mess? Jai raises a finger. If you won't tell her, Amelia, I will. Tell me what? But neither of us gets to tell her anything, because at that moment, we're interrupted by a searing cascade of notes rolling in from all directions like a thunderclap. Where it's coming from, I have no idea, but sound pours in and fills the room. Billowing purple clouds of smoky magic flow in from the hallway and windows and vents. The orchestra, I gasp. Jai, it's happening again. Oh no, it's not, roars Jai. Darby, quick, help me hold her down. Hold her down? Why? What's that music? What is going on? The Midnight Orchestra! Jai dives, valiantly taking hold of my arm and pinning it to the floor. They're trying to kidnap Amelia because she made a deal with them. I didn't make a deal, I protest. I was tricked. And that's how she made up the fire dragon spell, only now they want payment. And I don't have anything to give them. I have, like, $1.43 left from my allowance.
So we went full werewolf method.
Werewolves? Darby's voice sounds strangled. There are werewolves? It's a metaphor, shouts Jai. It's getting hard to hear over the avalanche of notes thundering through the room. Purple magic hisses all around us until we're practically choking on it. A gasp as a string of piano keys snakes through the air, then begins to spin, just like last time. "There!" I yell. The portal opens in the air above, spinning horizontally, like a monstrous eye staring straight at me.
"Shoo!"
Jai says.
"Get away!"
"It's not a fly," I say. "You can't just shoo it off." "Holy mother of Beethoven, Amelia," Darby gasps. "What sort of werewolves did you tick off?"
"It's a metaphor," yells Jai.
An icy wind rushes out of the portal, along with gusts of snow. The temperature in the weight room plunges like someone opened an enormous refrigerator door.
"Don't worry," Jai shouts in my ear. "My plan will work. Darby!"
Darby grabs my other arm and holds it down, her face as white as a sheet. All three of us lie on the floor and stare up at the spinning portal. It descends nearer and nearer, a glittering sheet of rippling purple interdimensional silk. The piano keys look like teeth, as if they were a giant mouth intent on gulping me down. To my right and left, Darby and Jai scream. I scream. We scream until the music crashes so loudly it swallows our voices. And the portal swallows us.